Squatty
Podcast. Hey, welcome everybody to another edition of the Squad Deep Podcast. I'm Boy Wonder, and I'm joined by the one and only Mr. Zach Dean.
Derp.
The incredible Mr. Casey Thompson.
This isn't Wait, Don't Tell Me.
And my main man, Mr. Nate Adams.
Ooh, I get to be the main man.
Yeah, fine, it's cool. I don't need to be.
No, I'm in.
No, it's fine. It doesn't hurt at all. It doesn't.
He's saving the best for last.
No, he's. That's what he's doing in these two intros, Zach. It's fine. Listen, I don't need to be main man. I can just. I'm happy to be involved. Frankly.
Yeah.
We are here. We were talking before, Casey and I, about Wild Wild West.
Oh no.
And
Jim West,
because we
Desperado.
I'll tell you why. The last show we talked about how Marvel really collaborates with, you know, the CGI action scene people. They tell them what needs to be in the movie before the movie's even written. And I mentioned that they did something similar in the all-lady Ghostbusters movie. And then we talked about, it led into the Kevin Smith story.
Oh.
About Superman Reborn.
Yes.
And it's he doesn't want to see him in the suit, doesn't want to see him fly, and he has to fight a giant spider in the third act.
That story is so good.
And at the end of the story, the guy that was supposed to produce the Superman movie produced Wild Wild West, and there's a giant spider in the third act.
Yep.
And then he, Casey, reminded me that the first scene of that movie, he's butt naked in a water tower with some lady. And Casey said, what'd you say, Casey?
What did I say? That town's drinking water. Like, listen, I'm just saying, not only are your balls all up in my drinking water, but who knows what else you're shooting in there with some lady up there? Considerate, Jim. Jim West.
Let's also remember that in the Wild Wild West, people were really dirty.
Yeah.
So
not a lot of bathing happening.
I'm just saying that's not an excuse for all of us to just abandon any semblance of hygiene. You could still hold yourself to a standard, Zach Dean.
What I'm suggesting is, not only is he butt-ass naked, are they butt-ass naked in this town's water supply, but Lord knows when the last time they actually bathed was. They're getting all that junk into your water.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's
also condoms and the pull and pray method, probably neither of those had been invented yet, so... Right.
Can any of us legitimately say when toilet paper was invented?
I can't.
Was it the 1800s? God, I hope so, for those people's sake.
They didn't
get up and walk away. Surely there was something else to clean the shit off your butt. Do you think that somebody invented the revolving pistol before they decided, you know what? Maybe after I take a shit, I should try and get some of the shit off my butt.
But take a look around you in the country that we live in. You really think that they didn't invent guns before they invented toilet paper?
Not toilet paper. Just the concept of doing something.
Oh, so you're saying
get
like a butt
the poop out of your pants.
Like a butt hanky.
Well, I mean, and then, you know, we also talked about how Will Smith turned down The Matrix.
Oh, yes, he did. I heard about
that. To do Wild Wild West.
Oh, wise choice.
Career move. Strong career move.
How The Matrix was such a massive hit, and Wild Wild West was a hit song.
Yeah.
God, that song is so good.
It is. It really is.
It is quite good. It is quite good.
My favorite parts of it are Wiki Wild. And the best line in that whole song, and really one of the best lines ever in music, is any damsel that's in distress be out that dress when she meet Jim West.
Damn. That's pretty slick.
Any damsel that's in distress be out that dress when she meet Jim West.
It's better than MIB. I'm going to say it. Like, the song is better than MIB.
Literally the same song, too.
I know it's the same song, but it's a better version of the same song, Zach Dean.
The sample is better.
Mm-hmm. The sample is much better.
Yeah.
You know, Stevie Wonder, any day.
Yeah, the sample from Men in Black is Forget Me Nots, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Send them Forget Me Nots.
That is correct.
And... But speaking of Wild Wild West, they did a live version of it at the MTV Video Award, the MTV Movie Awards, the year the movie came out.
Okay.
And at the end, it's like, ladies and gentlemen, Stevie Wonder, and he comes out and he's like, I've been going straight to the Wild Wild West, and it's awesome. And at the end. Everybody leaves the stage, and they leave Stevie Wonder up there.
Oh no!
Yo, no one came to get Stevie.
Nobody came to get Stevie. Stevie is just on the stage, like blind.
The producer of the show is like, "No, Stevie will get off himself." And someone's like, "He's blind, you son of a bitch."
Do you guys adhere to the theory that Stevie Wonder's not actually blind?
No.
Because there's that video of him catching the mic before it falls.
Is this a QAnon thing? This is a QAnon
thing. No, it's not a QAnon thing, Zach Dean. This is a legitimate conspiracy theory posed by the fact that there's a video that exists of Stevie Wonder on a set of some commercial he was doing where a boom mic falls down and is about to land on someone, and Stevie catches it before it hits him. So either he's Daredevil, which is possible, or that motherfucker can see.
You sure this isn't like a Han didn't shoot first film edit or something?
Nate, I want to point out that I'm not the one who brought it back to Star Wars in this episode, but well, I'm glad we're here. And now that we're here...
Yeah, well, I've opened it. Sorry.
Let's talk about McKee. Get into it.
McKee, so that's... Yeah, no, I don't believe Stevie Wonder can see.
I don't even
I'll believe he's
I'm
Daredevil.
I'm just having fun.
I'm like, can we
get we're gonna get into a whole? Thought we're gonna get into a whole Jewish space laser thing here, and I was really not.
Oh, God.
Jewish space
wrong
laser?
Show.
You haven't heard
wrong show.
Oh, is there a Jewish space laser?
But we could do it.
There sure is.
Are they gonna carve a Star of David into the face of the moon?
No, they caused the wildfires.
Yeah, they shot their Jewish space laser.
Yeah. If there's one thing I know about Jews, it's that they hate trees.
Mm-hmm. And they have space lasers.
Also, they have
Marjorie Taylor is a member of the House of Representatives from Georgia, and she's a QAnon member and believes that the California wildfires were caused by Jewish space lasers. It's, you know,
sounds to what end? I don't know what the problem is.
To what end again? Does she
Who
have
knows?
A?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know. That is so.
Yeah,
science I like it, fiction.
Wrong show. We'll be talking about that on Boy Wonder versus the World.
We don't talk about real shit on this show. This shit is for silly people who dress up in funny costumes.
Right. So we'll wait for what happened to Zach.
He died.
He turned into a chair.
What?
He got a. The space laser got him, man. You didn't see it.
Man, that works fast.
In an instant.
It works fast.
Nothing but a burnt menorah in his wake.
Yeah.
No. Did the space lasers get him?
It burned for 7 days.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. He burned for 7 days.
Space laser.
So it
was Jews to destroy all the wine.
Zach, can the rest of this podcast just be us helping you to write a theme song for the Jewish space laser?
Sure, we could do that.
Space
we'll
laser.
We'll be off the internet. Oh, in a matter of moments for offending a very nice group of people.
Yeah.
Although that's not true.
Yeah, we should probably cut all of this out, but that's
yep. Yep.
Let's not do that.
What? I mean, we're making fun of it. It's absurd.
That's the subtitle for the show. I'm pretty much convinced.
Space laser?
No. Squad Deep Podcast, : we're going to cut this part out.
We're going to cut this out, right?
Oh, man.
We're going to edit this heavily.
So,
we're going to cut this part out.
It's so nuts. Last show, we had a profound conversation about Batman as we do on this show.
As we are going to do.
And how Batman is one of the most versatile characters in fiction. That's my view. And that he's malleable. And we got into a little bit about why the F we keep getting the same sad, gritty Batman movie every time. Like, why Batman so upset? You know? I know what happened to him was traumatic, but he got money.
Got to get that Bat Prozac, man.
Got that Skrilla.
That's the question. That's the actual answer to the question of, like, what superhero would you be? Because I would be Batman, and then I would just stop being Batman and be a rich guy.
Yeah, there you go. It's a solid, investment.
Zach's descending into his own Batcave as we speak.
Oh, yes, man. Yes, he's having a Blair Witching.
Sorry, I figured it'd be better if I was downstairs because my roommate's going to bed. So,
fair.
So
that's considerate.
Self-setup. You know, because I sometimes sit and think of these things. I was thinking of something to do for TikTok, and for like a week, I did like movie pitches. Or at least, movie pitches. Not necessarily stories, but concepts. I did one for the Blacktastic Four.
Nice.
Where it's like, they're black, and you do four movies with all four of them being the main character.
Mm.
And so then I turned my thoughts to Batman because... You know, Superman's my favorite hero, but we did the Superman thing already on, like, one of the first episodes. We basically said, you know, where we'd make a Metropolis movie, a Smallville movie. They both end at the same point where Superman is standing, like, on top of the Daily Planet getting ready to do some stuff. And then we go from there. Because you can get your Lois Lane, Jimmy Olsen action movie, you know, as they, you know, traverse Metropolis and interact with Lex Luthor.
I know you just included that for me, Andre, and I do appreciate it.
Yeah, and then you get your Perry White Smallville movie, where he investigated it, and so it's like, and all in the same place. Then we have our, you know, we've developed our backstory, our world. And we have our Superman movie after that. So, my idea for a new Batman franchise is Batman and Robin.
They already made that movie. And they already made the perfect version of that movie.
No.
That is incorrect.
You can deny it all you want. I mean,
that is incorrect.
No.
You guys, listen, that's fine. You guys are just don't have taste. That's fine. And that's fine.
Because, like I said, you know, it's like we don't necessarily need grim, gritty, gothic, sad, white privilege, aggro Batman. We don't need it, right? We've done it. We've seen it. Like, and this will be after, and we'll get three more movies of this at the end of the Robert Pattinson trilogy. So if they call me and I take over...
Is that going to be a trilogy?
Huh?
No. Is that going to be a trilogy?
I think it is. Always is.
Has that... Well, yeah, but have they actually made plans for that?
No, Warner Brothers always wants it to be. And but Warner Brothers is bad at making like movies?
Yeah.
No, that's not true. They're bad at making
movies. I'm not saying they're going to make three good movies.
No, they always plan it. But they've rarely followed through with it. There were always plans. There were plans for two Justice League movies. There were plans for a solo Ben Affleck Batman movie. There were plans for a Cyborg movie. There were plans for all this stuff. A Flashpoint movie that I would love to come out, but it's not. And I don't... Anyway, I'm sorry. Yeah. Off topic.
It's awesome. So, well, we're going to get at least one more sad Batman movie. You can always go back to it if this doesn't work. But I'm like, all right. Dear Warner Brothers, and I put it in my contract, if you're signing me to develop a Batman franchise, you have to give me 9 90-minute movies at least.
That's a lot.
That's where we're starting.
Okay. To start.
9?
Got it.
9. Don't worry.
You want a 9-movie franchise?
Yep. 9. At least. All right?
Okay.
So... I don't know all of the, I don't know all of the details, right? But I know these few things. So it's three trilogies. Okay? Robin is the gateway to Batman's world. Okay? Robin is not necessarily our main character, but he's our point of view character.
Okay.
Okay? So the first trilogy is Dick Grayson. First movie is, we're going to get this gritty Batman thing out of the way. The first sequence is Batman by himself doing his thing. Alfred's in the Batcave, coaching him along, blah, blah, blah. He punches some guys, and it's like, Batman. You like that? Great, because you're probably never going to see it again. Okay. So we give that. So that's like the first maybe 10 or 15 minutes. See opening sequence. And then we go right to the circus, which I'm not 100% sure about because circuses don't really exist anymore. But this movie could be set in the 1980s or 90s.
That or just in a world where circuses still
exist. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we get Robin's Dick Grayson. You know, Dick Grayson is, you know, Flying Graysons, yada, yada, yada. You know, he goes to the circus. Well, let me back up. The movie actually starts with Batman and Robin swinging through Gotham. And Dick goes, hey, I'm Robin, and my life's pretty crazy. It was like something to that effect.
You're probably wondering how I got here.
Exactly. I don't know what the dialogue would be.
Freeze frame? Yeah.
Right. So, and then
shorts,
we go to
pixie boots. I know it all seems a little wild.
Right.
Let me back
Batman
up.
Batman does his thing. They meet, and then the whole adventure is him learning to be Robin, and them stopping like a penguin scheme. So it's like intercut, and Rob is about 12. The next movie, Robin is like kind of 15, 16, 17. They're kind of struggling with their interpersonal dynamic. Robin wants to kind of grow up and be more on his own. And Batman's not really having any of it. And then Robin kind of starts to break off and joins the Teen Titans. That's a whole other movie.
Okay.
That we could pad into, if you want to do that, he can come off. And then for the third movie is basically about him separating himself from Batman. So
one issue I see already with this idea, although I do appreciate the jump or the sort of shift from what we've been seeing in current movies.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to cast three different people to play Robin, or are you going to try to give the space for this kid to age to the degree that you need him to? Because that's going to make your timetable for 9 movies rather long, and then you might have to recast Batman.
Well,
stay with me. All right. Okay.
So the end of the first trilogy, the end of the Dick Grayson trilogy, after this, he'll still be in the world, in the universe, as it were. But he'll be Nightwing. He may be available. He may not be available. If he's available, we can put him in the movies as more of a background character. And the next movies are featuring Jason Todd. First movie, he's about the same age as a little bit younger than Robin was when he left. The whole comparing him, the whole origin thing. The second movie is the whole stop comparing me to Dick thing.
This is the first movie of the second trilogy in your nonology?
Right.
Okay. Nonology.
So, first movie is the origin story. Begins with the same sequence. Hey, I'm Robin. My life's crazy. I bet you wonder how I got here. That kind of thing. So... Right. It'll be in the movie at some point. It may not be in the beginning, sure, but it'll be in the movie at some point. Second movie is Stop Comparing Me to Dick. Like, sometimes Batman will actually call him Dick.
That's awkward.
Right? Whole thing, Stop Comparing Me to Dick.
Dick!
I'm my own man. Oh, I'm my own man. That kind of thing. We change, like, the interpersonal dynamics. And then the third movie is Death in the Family.
Yeah, I was going to say the third movie is Joker beating him to death with a
crowbar.
Right.
Because I got to do it, right? I got to do it.
I mean, that's just, it's sadly become a part of his character.
That is literally the only reason that you have Jason Todd. Right. Story, let's be real.
And the third trilogy would be Tim Drake. And you could, the third trilogy would be Tim Drake. And then you could end, you could keep going, but my third movie would end with Damian showing up in the Batcave. It was like, what? And you could keep going. I could step out because I've just made 9 Batman movies. I may not want to continue to do
it. Because you laid out the 3 sort of for Dick and for Todd. What are Tim's 3?
Tim's 3... Tim would be, yes. Go ahead, Casey. I'll answer that question.
No, answer the next
question. Okay. Answer the next question. So, Tim, I think, would be kind of Easter egged throughout this whole thing.
Mm.
So, like, once you see him, you've seen him before.
Well, dude, canonically, Tim is at the circus the night that the Flying Graysons die.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I didn't know that. Yeah. As a small child. And he figures out Batman's identity.
Exactly.
Because he sees Robin perform a trick that only Dick Grayson from the Flying Graysons could do. An acrobatic move. And he, as just a kid, is just like, okay, well, if Robin is Dick Grayson and Dick Grayson was adopted by Bruce Wayne and Bruce Wayne is this mysterious rich guy, I think I got it.
Right. Yeah.
So
it's not that hard to figure out, but yeah.
Right.
So it's all there for you if you want to do that. I think that's actually a clip.
So basically, Tim's movies, there's going to be obviously the origin where it's like, I know who you are. The whole thing about the first movie is that Batman needs Robin. Like, that's what the movie's about. Like, Batman is gritty and kind of going off the deep end because he just lost Jason Todd, Dick left, and now he's all by himself. And the whole movie is like, Batman needs a Robin. So he goes on the journey to become Robin. And then the second movie is The Red Hood.
Okay.
And the third movie is a Batman and Robin versus Ra's al Ghul and Talia. And Talia gets pregnant. So the last movie is Battle for the Cowl.
Okay.
So.
Gotcha.
So after these 9 movies, the last movie would be Battle for the Cowl. Batman's dead. And these folks are coming out and somebody wins out as far as like being Batman. I mean, it's Dick, but go ahead.
Are you accepting notes?
Yes, sure.
Okay. First of all, I really like this. I really like a Batman movie. First of all, I would not hedge. I would say no. Dick Grayson is the main character. Dick Grayson, to me, all right, first of all, this sounds like 3 movies. This does not sound like 9 movies to me. It sounds like 3. I don't think you get 3 movies out of Jason fucking Todd, if I'm being real with you. I think it's Dick Grayson. I think you are following Dick Grayson through all of these movies. It sounds like to me. And it's all about the relationship between Robin and Batman, but we're following Dick through it. So the first movie is Dick as Robin. I wouldn't make him 12. That's just me, though. Second movie is Teen Titans Robin. He's not really with Batman anymore. He's out doing his thing. comes home, finds out he's been replaced. There's a new, nubile, supple young acrobat in the Batcave that
right.
Batman's hanging out with now. Supple. And that spurns him to become Nightwing. Third movie, Batman's going crazy because Jason died. And now that's where Tim comes in, and Nightwing has to maybe take over for Batman in that situation anyway. And I don't know, but nine movies seems like a lot for a Robin nonology, which is what this is. And it sounds great. It sounds awesome, but like, I don't think each one needs a trilogy. I think each one needs a movie.
Look, he's just trying to get that hustle, you know.
Right. Listen, don't get me wrong.
I want to make that money, you know.
Going for nine movies, God bless you.
And we're going to stretch this thing out.
I'm just saying, for the guy who got bored with the Lord of the Rings movies, three movies about Jason goddamn Todd is a lot of movies about Jason goddamn Todd before he gets interesting. Yes, Zach Dean.
So one thing I think that you're missing is that Andre's going to make these an hour and a half at max, so they're not very long. So three movies of Dick Grayson is like a movie in modern day film telling.
Not
what,
really.
They're not all going to be Snyder, cuts? Maybe. Yeah, they're not all going to be Snyder cuts?
Yeah. Or maybe this also sounds like it would work better as an HBO Max series than as a nonology of motion pictures.
Take nine episodes.
No.
Yeah. You're all wrong.
You said you were accepting notes. That's not why I asked. Notes. Yeah, like
your note I have taken your notes and I am putting them in the trash.
Sure. But
your note was, I like your idea, but I also hate your idea.
No, it was not. Absolutely not. I love that idea. I would reformat it.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying for me.
Right.
But it's also
my problem is not the content. I think the content is brilliant because here's the thing. Robin, there's a reason Robin was the most popular Batman comic for like 15 years. It's because Robin is the actual relatable character in the Batman stories.
Yeah.
Like, right. Robin's the one who you can identify with and who says things that a human might say. Because when you have, because here's the bit about Batman. Batman takes himself way too seriously. Mm-hmm. And that's why the jokes work and that's why the serious works. Like, Batman is not a relatable dude. As much as you can understand Batman and get inside his head, he's not a guy who I'm like, oh, okay, I feel where you're coming from, Batman. You and me.
Been through the same thing. I've punched a lot of dudes and jumped over.
Beat up a lot of mentally handicapped people. So I feel like we get each other. No, but Robin is the point of view character, and like we've said before, Batman is so universal, so well known. You don't need to have a movie that is from Batman's point of view to have a movie about Batman. Let it be about Robin, and let us follow the character and or the characters through that progression. Because, frankly, that legacy part of the DC stories is part of what makes DC so awesome and what made DC unique from Marvel back in the day. Right. And Robin is one of the best of those legacies because the original one, things actually happen to the Robins. Like, the first Robin grows into his own superhero who's better than Batman. The second Robin dies and affects everything and comes back as a murderer. The third Robin is like an actual detective and who is like gets too cerebral and like goes more Batman than Batman. Like the fourth one is a member of the League of Assassins. Like it's all rich.
It's all great.
Good.
I like doing some movies about Jason Todd just because I think that there is an opportunity to round out the Robin part of his life a little bit in the movies. He's kind of a clean slate. Because all you really have to do is get him to the point where he gets beat with a crowbar.
Yeah, that's the most interesting thing about...
Hold on. So a potential interesting note with Jason Todd is Batman trying to do the same thing he did with Dick Grayson, but it doesn't work because Jason Todd's kind of a psychopath.
Right.
And that's what the post-crisis Jason was all about.
Right. So, like, I think the more interesting aspect of this is also yes, Robin is the most relatable character, but Robin also makes Batman human to a degree. So, like, the introduction of this kid that he's now in charge of forces the guy who is crazy enough to put on a bat suit and go beat up villains at night or criminals at night to like try to figure out how to also be sort of a parent and a mentor. And where he fails, you know, Alfred kind of steps in and adds a bit more of a gentler touch. Because I also think, like, one aspect of Batman that I think is missing to a certain degree, it's been done, but I think they could be doing Alfred better too. Like, I really do think that Alfred's not just like, there's a balance between, like, all the Alfreds have been sort of congenial and like snarky, but like there's never been a scene in a Batman movie where like Batman comes back almost completely broken and beaten to shit and Alfred has to put him back together again, like physically, like actually care for him and like nurture him as like a sort of father figure, because I think that's kind of what he was for Bruce. Like, he wasn't like, you know, he wasn't a full-on father figure, but he was also like, he's not quite a medically trained military surgeon, but he has
he was in the military.
He's also a classically trained Shakespearean actor.
See, there you go. So like, double dude, trouble. Can you imagine if like, if Batman used Alfred to like go undercover in some situation and he had to like,
yes, in the comics, sure.
There's, I mean, and the thing about it is there's room for all of that, because the adding Robin turns this into, these turn to really turns into action adventure, as opposed to like a psychological thriller or a psychological examination. It's like, it's just, here's this kid, and it's already kind of ridiculous. So, like, he dresses this kid up in bright colors and tells him that, it's like, why am I wearing these bright? It's like, you have to learn how to master the shadows. You know how to master the shadows, doesn't matter what you're wearing.
Is that why?
No,
it's that's not. it was in a comic that I read. It's recent.
The best description I've heard about like Robin and like his character is somebody like writing that like Nightwing is Batman if Batman had somebody who like understood, if Bruce Wayne, when he was a traumatized pre-adolescent, had somebody who understood what he was going through, who could help him focus his anger and his grief and process it in a way that's maybe not healthy, but at the very least productive. And allowed, like, gave him a person who understood what he was going through, like, giving him that. And so Nightwing, as far as a vigilante can be, is extremely well-adjusted. Right. And, like, popular, and, like, works well with, plays well with others, and, like, is actually a socially successful and relatively stable human being, which Batman is not. And so I love the idea of, like, really diving into, like, why he does that, and then why he tries to do it again. But it doesn't work with like every kid you find, every orphan you meet.
Whole thing is that he gets beat with a crowbar and becomes the Red Hood. It's like it's gonna affect him.
Most interesting thing about him,
right? And the thing about it is, and since there is kind of a clean slate, you can make him this funny, likable, kind of bratty character that people would be into before the Joker beats him to death. Because the thing about it is, you have to make that mean something.
You could probably do that in two movies, though, instead of three. Because then you could use
You could do it in one.
Yeah. I think most... So I don't know any movies that I've watched in the last decade that were an hour and a half max.
Right.
Like that. Like a tight 90 is something you don't really see in movies anymore.
Animated movies.
You see it in a lot of indie movies as well.
I would love this as an animated series, like an animated movie series like they do with the DC animated movies.
Oh, but like a big budget?
I would get hype. Like theatrical releases, but like I would get hype about that. Like
I'm obsessed with this. I'm obsessed with this idea of of a tight 90, maybe 95. I just think that
that changes everything.
That, yeah, right. That becomes 100, man. And then when you're 100,
because the only movie that would be 2.5 hours
would be
like standard kind of comic book movie length is the Battle for the Cowl movie, which takes place a few years after the last of the Drake trilogy. and Damian shows up in the Batcave because Batman is dead.
I'm with you. I get.
And the whole thing is, we've gotten to know Jason Todd, Dick Grayson, Tim Drake. We're getting to know Damian Wayne throughout the movie, and one of these Robins is going to be Batman. And then Damian's going to be Robin, and if you want to, you could just keep going. So that's
I'm hype about it. I love it. I'm just saying, for me, 9 movies sounds exhausting. And if Marvel has proven anything, it's that you don't need that much to get to know about and get invested with a character. Like, people are hype about Falcon and Winter Soldier. Falcon is very, if you are being extremely generous, he is a reasonably well-developed character who has been in 4 movies in the background, pretty much.
More or less.
Let's be 100% real. Like, you don't, but because Anthony Mackie is Anthony Mackie, and because the writing is so tight, I care that Steve handed him the shield. I care about this new move, this new show that's going to tell me how that goes. Like, I want to find that out. And I feel like 3 movies per Robin is a lot. And so, but I love like following Nightwing, following Dick through all of it. And there are some fabulous stories in the comics that are about how he, there's a series called Nightwing Year One, also written by Chuck Dixon, which is about him going from Robin to Nightwing. And a lot of it has to do with his relationship with Jason and like meeting him, having the second movie could be a situation where like Dick and Jason wind up stuck in an adventure together. And so they have to develop that. They have to get past some of their bullshit. And then you get to know Jason, you develop that affection for him, and then by the third movie he's dead, and
you can always spin Nightwing off if you want.
But that's what I'm saying, like Battle for the Cowl. I love the idea of Battle for the Cowl at the end of this too, as like the capper.
Right. It's like you can create, basically it's like I'm creating a Batman cinematic universe almost. It's like, so you creating all of these characters, you can spin them off, they can do their own movies, they can do TV shows, that kind of thing. I'm thinking, my back is itching like a mother. Like, I'm thinking Cole Sprouse and just having him age throughout.
Who?
Jughead? For Batman.
Who?
Jughead.
I can almost see it, actually. Now, I was about to really scoff at you for a minute. Jughead from Riverdale, heathen.
I see it. No. Yeah, I see it.
I can actually see it. I don't think because that's bad.
I like the idea of him being young when we start this,
yeah,
and old when we're done.
I'm into it. I think the Dick Grayson trilogy is actually really strong. Like Robin, Teen Titans, Nightwing. I think the others are a lot.
Yeah, I think you know, I go, Casey, go make those movies.
If I'm real with you, I don't think other than Dick, I don't think the other Robins have 3 movies worth of meat on their bones. I'm gonna be 100%
right. I mean, I think you could put meat on them though.
Yeah.
You could. You for sure could.
I think you could tighten it down to 6. You give each Robin 2 movies. Or if you give Dick 3 movies, then you do like
Jason
Todd trilogy, like, cuz it, okay, again, it depends, cuz like, Casey, from your perspective, you want to focus on Dick Grayson. You want to focus on Robin.
Yeah.
Andre, I'm not entirely, like, your focus is on Robin, or is it on Batman in your idea?
My focus is on the concept of Robin and what Robin actually brings out in Batman, and how you could have movies called Batman and Robin, and they can be these three completely different dynamics and experiences. So what I'm after is more of dynamics and how those dynamics kind of shift and change. And then as it caps with Battle for the Cowl, it's all about how Batman affects these four different people. And even with Damian, who barely knows him.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't really know him at all.
Well, yeah,
he just shows up because...
the myth of Batman.
Right.
Yeah. So Batman... I'm sorry, Nate. Go ahead.
It sounds like you're having... based on what Casey's input is here, that you have three movies with all of the various Robins, and then a fourth movie capping it off with Battle for the Cowl.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it sounds good to me.
In Casey's edition of the version of this,
yeah, that's my version.
Right, yeah.
I feel like you got because Andre's version on one hand, which is nine movies. Mine is down to three, but Zach has met us in the middle with sort of like.
But I also I think to Andre's point, Casey, I think maybe something that's getting lost potentially in your version of this is like, yeah, three movies about Jason Todd sound like a lot, but three movies about Batman bringing in a new Robin and trying to make it work while also dealing with the criminals of Gotham for three movies doesn't sound like a difficult thing to do. Do you know what I mean? Because it's not just about Robin. It's about like, it's about the dynamic. It's about how Batman
dynamic
adjusts.
Duo.
Yeah. And obviously there'll be villains. I want to do a Hugo Strange movie. I want to do a Scarecrow movie, like do that really well. Catwoman, like
over the top names like Batman and Robin, the Claws of Catwoman. Batman and Robin, you know, Quagmire of the Riddler.
It's just like
the
this
frost
is
of
in.
Mr. Freeze.
It's like, and my template for tone, for the most part, is Batman the Animated Series.
Mm. Okay.
Casey, that would be Batman and Robin, the Deep Freeze.
Ooh.
Like there that. You go.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I'm saying, like, I love all of that. Like, I
obviously
love
Joker.
The nine. Yeah, of course. You have to do Joker.
Well, I mean, twice. Specifically for Jason Todd, you do.
Well, yes.
I mean,
it
you could do
Joker. Great if we didn't see Joker before Jason Todd. I would love that. But my holdup is the volume, is the scale. I think that's too much. I'm exhausted just thinking about nine Batman movies. Maybe that's just a me thing.
Right.
But a bunch of Robin movies that create this cinematic universe that's based in Gotham and on Gotham's characters. I mean, like, you know, Barbara Gordon can be in there, and like, you know, Commissioner Gordon's in there. Like, get weird with it. Get like some. Get a whole movie where Batman is undercover as Matches Malone, and Robin has to handle things in Gotham on his own. Like, get wild. I love it. I love expanding that world. I'm just saying, like, nine seems like a lot. Unless it's like a more serialized thing. If it's like a Batman and Robin show that where it's like less like, because you know what, you spoke about this before, and the way that you put it was like, think less like motion pictures that come out in theaters and think more like seasons of Sherlock.
Right.
And I'm like, I like that a lot more. So maybe it's the context for me that is different. Like, if you released three episodes of like an hour and a half long show on HBO Max every 2 years or whatever, like that were just exactly what you're saying, like all of a sudden I'm hype.
I have an idea, because I'm trying to think of like how you make this work logistically as far as the actors and how they age and stuff like that. What if you had three different actors for Batman and three different like sort of the only way this doesn't work is then when you do Battle for the Cowl, unless you recast Dick Grayson. So basically what I was thinking is you cast Batman with Dick Grayson and you film those movies, and then you cast Batman with Jason Todd and you film those movies, and then you cast Batman with Tim Drake and you film those movies, and Batman like so Batman from Batman with Dick Grayson is like 30 to 35. Batman with Jason Todd is like 35 to 40. And then Batman with Tim Drake is 40 to 45. So you cast those three guys and you shoot them pretty much within this, like almost within, like if you're doing Dick Grayson, it's like maybe once a year. And then you're maybe you start the first one of the Jason Todd series the last year you do Dick Grayson.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically you're able to show Batman aging and like evolving as a character, or maybe even like maybe Dick Grayson leaves and Batman's 5 years older before he even picks up another Robin, like maybe like before he decides listen,
I'm sorry, can we just address the elephant in the room very briefly, the fact that this dude is going through young acrobats like fucking toilet paper, like come on.
Here's he has the a thing. Type.
You're talking about 12? You're talking about 12. I'm sorry. That does not fly. That is not flying Grayson's. All right? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
This is not flying Grayson's. Oh.
He's got a type. What can I say?
Listen, we all have a myopic focus sometimes when it comes to the matters of love. But I'm just saying, it starts to raise too many questions.
Well, and I mean, if I can keep Jughead, I would probably do that.
But it's okay. Just the only issue with that is like if you're doing that, so you get your boy Jughead
right
to put on the cowl.
Mm-hmm.
And he is obsessed with hamburgers or whatever Jughead does.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Cuz you know we all watch Riverdale.
But we all know who Jughead is at least.
Yeah, he's probably the only character I know aside from Archie.
Mm-hmm. I often forget when I'm watching Riverdale that it's based on Archie comics.
I often forget that Riverdale exists when I'm not watching Riverdale. But
yeah. Well, there's that too.
Betty and Veronica.
They kiss in the first episode.
So here's the thing, though. Like, okay, how old is that guy right now? He's in probably his 20s?
30s. Late 20s. Yeah.
28 years old.
Okay, so
hey, with the data,
I'm just listening and filling out data points.
If you conservatively, like, I don't know if you could film a movie a year with, like, I don't know what I don't remember how long did the Nolan trilogy take to film? Like, how long did it take
a while
to do 10 movies? You know,
7 years.
Yeah, and
7 years for the Nolan movies. I mean, but think about the Harry Potter movies though. Like, they knocked those motherfuckers out as those kids were growing up. So you can do it. And I think the continuity of it, if we're switching out Robins, like, if he's tossing Robins out of bed every three movies, then I think the continuity of Batman is actually really important. You can age him up with makeup or whatever, but, like, you know, you can make him look older.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. I guess
it's like, because he'll be, if we start it now, he's 28, right? And Robin is 12 or 13 years old.
I'm saying he's 12 or 13. That's an awful idea. Sorry.
It's like, they're close. 12.
He's 28 for 13. That's fine.
Right. So, like, if you do three 90-minute movies, you know, by the end, he's in his 30s. Even if you waited a couple years and did the Jason Todd thing, he's in his early to mid-30s.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's in his late 30s maybe when the Tim Drake movies are going on, and then he's dead, you know.
So really all we're doing at this point is waiting for that first check to come in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we can start pre-viz and like casting and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay, that's good. Well, so get some spec scripts out there, and then you know, we'll see what we have, I guess. Yeah. We should probably get moving because, you know, Chris Brown is probably hopefully Riverdale's winding down, so maybe he'll be available soon.
Hoping right. It's winding down.
They're in their like sixth season. I mean, come on, how
just
long?
Got picked up. It just got picked up for another season.
All right, well, Riverdale. You know, yeah, we're not gonna be ready to film in a year, Zach.
So did Batwoman though, and Legends of Tomorrow.
Yep.
And so, Legends of Tomorrow is a goddamn treasure.
It is.
Hear an ill word spoken about it.
Man, what a great show.
I know.
And Batwoman, I like Batwoman. I watch it with my mom, and my mom asks me questions, And my answers to all the questions are, I don't know. I didn't watch this before Batwoman was black.
I haven't watched a second of that show. I am hype about watching Black Batwoman, though, when it comes out on HBO Max.
I'm not Then you just watch it the whole way through.
I just watch it the whole way through.
Yeah. All right. So,
I'm ready. I'm ready. But here's the real final question that I have in this situation. Which movie and which Robin features Condiment King? Because if you were talking about Batman's arch nemesis.
Oh, that's the first sequence.
Yeah, of course. He's beating the shit out of the Condiment King. But for real, though, can we get like an Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze in one of these movies? Listen, you've got a lot going on. I'm not asking for much. I'm not asking for a lot. I'm just saying he's still alive and he's making movies again.
I'll give you Mr. Freeze.
Or Uma Thurman. I'll take either one.
Uma's not bad. Yeah, okay, I'll take that.
I love Uma Thurman.
Me too. Yeah. I'm saying she could still be Poison Ivy. I'm ready. You know? Little May December in there.
Reprising her famous role.
She's gotta leave the ham at home.
No, stop it! Why would she leave the ham at home? This is Batman and Robin. Like, if she's acting serious, it'll be stupid, like all the serious Batman.
Listen,
movies.
Andre promised me I could remake this movie.
Listen, I'm the only one out here fighting for this movie to be recognized as the cinematic masterpiece that it is. So I'm never gonna stop beating that drum. That's all I'm saying.
No, I like Uma Thurman in it. I don't know. I don't know if she's Poison Ivy.
Are we having the Batman and Robin conversation now? Because this podcast is already 9 hours long.
Because I'm talking about in my universe.
Okay. I thought you were teeing up.
No. I'm not. It's like, okay, good. I like Mr. Freeze. There's probably a way I'd probably stick him. It's like I do think that if you did do Jason Todd, you'd have to do the villains would have to be, you know, oddball and kind of really interesting and off the beaten path. I think Mr. Freeze would be good. I think Hugo Strange would be good.
I would really like to see Scarface done in the movies.
Oh my god. I didn't even think about that. That would be great.
I would really like to see that. Did I get the name right? The puppet?
Mad Hatter.
You have it. Mad Hatter.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
You know what would be great? You know what I want next time we have one of these like pitch meeting conversations? I want East to pitch a movie with a Batman villain who has not been in one of these Batman movies yet.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot.
And I'm sorry to disappoint you about the Joker. But you'll probably see the Joker 3 times.
I'm not surprised. I mean, listen, people don't have any ideas about Batman besides the Joker.
Mm-hmm. It's like
general, so. you're doing Leto for Joker, right?
We gotta get
him back in there.
You start at the top. You don't downgrade after you've already reached a peak like that.
Absolutely,
Andre.
Yes.
So theoretically, for Dick Grayson's last movie, like you had, I think, talked about doing the storyline where he finds the guy who murdered his parents.
Mm-hmm.
What if instead, in the second movie, he starts a relationship with Barbara Gordon, and you do the Killing Joke, sort of a Killing Joke version, as the final Dick Grayson movie, and he goes after Joker. Casey's shaking his head. He's like, I hate that idea.
No one should ever do the Killing Joke for any reason ever. Well, not even this. Alan Moore's like, that sucked. I don't need that anymore.
I mean, not a clear adaptation. You know, like I'm saying, the rape and the other stuff that's awful.
But Barbara Gordon being paralyzed.
Well, that part I think you leave in there, but
I don't know.
Then it's just that's gross. That gets gross. Where it's just like, the girlfriend gets hurt to motivate him.
Right
now,
the Dick Grayson trilogy ends. He gets fired. Combination of. You're like with the Teen Titans and you're not here. And then he goes after Tony Zuko and beats him nearly half to death, and Batman's like, you can't be Robin anymore. And it's like,
fair enough.
Yeah. So yeah, man. There's so many ideas that you could have. But that's like an overview of what I thought about. And maybe one of you guys can do one of these.
Yeah.
I'll make all next of them. Casey
will absolutely make all of them.
Oh, I thought you meant like direct these movies for you. Like,
sure. But I mean, like, you know, maybe everybody could do a pitch at some point.
Oh, I've got pitches. I'm ready. Yeah. I'm out here. Like I said, we've already done the Lois Lane Jimmy Olsen pitch, which is like the one I would actually, no joke, pitch if I was in like an elevator with somebody with power. But I can get you whatever you want. I got the Monica Rambeau movie ready to go.
Let's do it. All right, man. So this was great. Thank you guys for indulging my fan fiction.
Absolutely.
For the past 30, 40 minutes. Appreciate it.
Not a problem.
What the hell do you think we all do anyway?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
All right.
Even off camera.
This is no different
for Nate Adams. What did you say, Zach? I'm sorry.
This is no different than any other Wednesday. Okay.
No, that's true.
Facts. For Nate Adams.
What's up?
Casey Thomason.
Hey.
And lean me, Zach Dean.
Keep it
I'm Boy up. Wonder. This is the Squad Deep Podcast. We'll see you next time.
Yay.
Cheers.
Yay.
I like lean, mean Zach Dean. That's a good
one. Yeah, that's a good one.